Welcome to the podcast. It's the best podcast in the world.
This is an end up on the show. I know it, motherfucker.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 89 of Epitome of Stupidity, your favorite allegedly metal podcast that is apparently still back from the dead, for now at least. Tunage in the background is from today's guest, Modern Witchcraft, and the song is called Sugar for Rats, and it features one Morgan Lander of, you guessed it, Kitty. So, all the badass, plus two. They're a fun form of doomgaze, and there's a kind of personal connection there that I know for a fact we will get into later. So I will let that kind of work itself out. I'm going to take a minute here and say thank you to my buddy Brian, who, as you may have figured out, is not with me on the show today, and as mentioned in a previous episode, probably won't be around much. But he did, whether he liked it or not, provide with a very clever new intro for the show. Thank you, Brian. Currently listening to, again, because I'm a nerd and like to talk about what I'm listening to, I had a really fun run this past week. I Spotify does that thing where it starts playing random shit that it thinks is related to the band that you're listening to when the album finishes. And there's this album called Royal Swan by a band called Foxjaw. And Fox is spelled P-H-O-X-J-A-W. And this album is borderline perfect. It is fucking great. They do a couple different things throughout the album, and they do them all just spectacularly. So, the album ends, and Spotify plays me some Sugar Horse. And Sugar Horse has a couple really great songs, and that leads to, I believe it was Tiger Cub, and somewhere in there was St. Pierre Snake Invasion, something off of their new album. So I took the three of those and kind of ran with them. St. Pierre Snake Invasion, their new album, Galore, I have literally left on repeat for a full day twice. And it's only like half a damn hour long. It's fucking great. It just kicks a ton of ass. And then there's Tiger Cub, and they're kind of like, they strike me as like if Royal Blood were into more doomy stuff. I don't know. It's hard to describe, as is all of these things, but it's well worth your listen. And I've since found out that they are going to be coming to town here in Columbus, Ohio, and touring a couple other cities in the North American region in early May. So take a listen and then go check them out. Outside of that, I would like to continually thank Brimminghorn for their partnership with this stupid fucking podcast. Use code EPITOMED at BrimminghornMeadery.com for 10% off your order. That's EPITOMEAD. And drink like a fucking Viking, because what's more metal than that? Come on, you can do better than that shitty beer that you're holding right now, looking directly at me. Drink like a Viking. Go to BrimminghornMeadery.com and use code EPITOMED, EPITOMEAD. From here, I'm going to segue into the conversation with Steven of Modern Witchcraft. And eventually, I'm going to get a sounder for this, so it's not just me doing the call and response thing of the beep, 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 beep ring that I just did. And now we're going to act like it actually rang. And here in a second, he's going to answer. And for some damn reason, he answered my call. On the line with me is Steven of Modern Witchcraft. Steven, how are you this fucking wonderful Saturday?
I'm well. How are you?
Oh, just fucking peachy. Just plugging along and drinking alcohol.
I guess it is Saturday. I had yesterday off.
I can confirm it is, in fact, Saturday. So, to kind of kick this conversation off, I'm a bit of a nerd. I like talking about what I'm listening to, and I like hearing about what other people are listening to. So, what are you listening to?
There's a band called called Yves Tumer. Tumer? Tumor?
It's not a tumor.
Yeah. I can't think of the name of his record, but I will look at it. It's just the name of the artist. It's kind of hard for me to get out of my mouth, clearly. You know, I don't have it in front of me, and I'm not seeing it. Either way, the band, it's spelled Y-V-E-S, Tumor. It's a super weird record, and kind of out there. Chelsea Wolfe's on one of the songs, which is kind of what drew me to it initially.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Yeah, it's just weird. It's different. Kind of, I don't know how to explain it. Like, kind of electronica mixed with maybe, like, some of the things of the Stone Age vibe, but it's definitely kind of got its own thing going on.
Oh, wow.
I'm trying to think. There's a band called Descartes Acant that has a record called After Destruction I've been listening to a lot. It's like, that record in particular is kind of like a super, super weird version of St. Vincent's in a way. But like the whole record is kind of like the, I don't know how it's concept record. So when you start the record, it's like a computer talking to you, and just basically like it's giving you choices when there really aren't choices necessarily.
Choose your own adventure type thing. That's not really a choose your own.
Yeah, and it's fun. I mean, the songs all connect into one another, and concept actually works pretty well. But yeah, it's just a strange record. They have really amazing videos. It's really interesting visual stuff. So that, and then there's a record called Mass by this band called Friendship Commanders.
Friendship Commanders. I love that.
That's really good as well. Beyond that, I don't know. I kind of go back and forth between like Safe Bets. So I go back to like old stuff. Like, I'm trying to think. I was listening to Caveman recently. And the Melvins. Just, you know, older records that have been around a while.
Sure. The Caveman thing, they put out that new album, what, last year, I think it was? Or was it Mutoid Man was last year and Cave-In was the year before? Something like that. Anyways, what I'm getting around to saying is that I'm probably going to get shit for this, but I can only do like half of the Cave-In album before it starts to feel samey to me. But you give me anything Mutoid Man and I'm just in total adoration of it.
I love Mutoid Man, especially the first three releases. The new one, I mean, is...
The new one is the lesser of the bunch, sure.
Yeah, it didn't speak to me kind of the way that the last few did. Like War Moans, I think, is the one previous to that.
Yeah, right? And that fucking thing is so good.
Yeah, that record's solid front to back, and then the one before it, and even the first EP they put out, I like. And it's kind of like a four-track recording that has the Animals cover on it.
I think the one before War Moans is Bridge Burner or something like that.
I think you're correct. Yeah, that record's solid from front to back.
Yeah, those two are really great.
Yeah, the new one is not bad by any means, and I still enjoyed it. I just didn't get as attached to it as I did.
Right. It was more like I'm going to listen to this again because I know it's good, whereas the previous ones, it was more of a, Jesus, I can't wait to listen to this again.
Yeah, I feel like I need to probably give it a fair listen or two, or maybe find my way to some form of inebriation and re-listen to it.
Ooh, I can help with that.
Oh. That's usually how I, like, I'll reconnect with the record. I'll end up eating an edible or something and then go listen to something that I
there you go.
Hadn't, and then find that I really enjoy it.
Just kind of get lost in it.
Yeah, sometimes that sticks, like, once I'm back to normal. And then other times I'm like, yeah, that was some chemical talk.
The chemical imbalance worked out all right.
it's entertaining.
Right. The what I've been listening to is a bit of your new album. And I have a stupid technical question.
Sure.
So if you look at any other self-titled album on, say, Spotify, because that's the streaming service that I use, it says the words again. You know, pick a damn self. The only thing I can think of right now is fucking Korn. But if you go to Korn's original album, it says Korn twice. Whereas with your album, it says self-titled. So my nerdy, stupid technical question is the album Modern Witchcraft or is it self-titled?
Technically, I suppose self-titled would be the name of it. And the reason that occurred is because, well, the prior band, or the final record of the prior band we were in was called Modern Witchcraft.
Oh! And
I use DistroKid to upload the new one for the new band, but because I had used that title with my DistroKid account on another release, it would not let me name this record the same thing.
Okay. Yeah, it really is just a stupid technical thing.
Yeah, it literally is. And the same thing happened with the uploading of some of the singles, especially the one that had Morgan on it, for whatever reason, because it had been uploaded twice and there was a typo between the two of them, and the typo was literally a space, so not even a typo you could see without examining it.
Right.
It rejected the upload initially, which is why, for some reason, the single version of that song that came out now over a week ago just went up on iTunes or Apple Music, because of some weird error with DistroKid. To not get too long-winded about it, there's not a lot of options for getting things on those platforms. And the cheapest one, of course, is DistroKid.
Yep.
But it is also a bit limited in what you can do with it. And I have, like, a higher tier on there because at one point I was running a label. So I just maintain it so I can put up stuff. But I've got it set up where I can do 3 artists now. But it's still kind of a little wonky at times, for lack of a better term. Not that wonky is a great term, but either way, like, yeah, I don't know. Their service is great and convenient, but it's also kind of like anything else. Like, because it's a cheaper option and the lesser of the options that are out there to do that, it also is a bit limiting and can be rife with problems.
Modern times and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, technology is your friend until it's not.
Yeah, yeah. See, our conversations before I pushed record.
Yeah.
So, you mentioned the previous band. Let's go ahead and check that box and talk about why the previous band ended and why Modern Witchcraft started.
Okay. The long and short of it is that Close to Hatch, the band that was the precursor. We've been around for, almost 10 years, and the latter couple of years of the band were quite difficult, for a variety of reasons without getting into personal things, but, like, more so, it was just, like, me traveling a lot because of work, and then, which is obviously personal, so I guess I fucked that up. But anyway, yeah, it was just that, and then we had conflicting schedules with a couple of the other members, and it just made it really difficult for the latter bit of the band. And when we put out the last record as that band called Modern Witchcraft, the last Close the Hatch record was called Modern Witchcraft, it was a pretty big departure from the prior material of that band. Like, it was a conscious effort to make that departure, but in my opinion, I think the better choice at the time would have been to have ended the band and changed the name then. But because we were kind of trying to pull from, our prior establishment, which was minimal, we just released it under that, and then the pandemic happened. And our record came out in January of 2020. So
right before the shit hit the fan.
Right, and I think we've the one of
three shows we played pre and post pandemic was with you. So like it just was kind of dead in the water, and I
which is a shame because it is a really good album, and I completely see your point in the whole there's the big departure, and it probably made more sense as maybe the first Modern Witchcraft album. But I will stop saying things about your band and let you continue now.
No, you're good. The record that we just put out as that, with that name as the band name, I mean, if you really wanted to and you're someone who really enjoys that record, I suppose you could go back and listen to the last Close the Hatch record, because it is arguably the emphasis for what the band is now. But the long and short of that, as I mentioned, I'm just rambling anyway, is that...
this is the perfect place to ramble.
Yeah, and the pandemic kind of, you know, shit the bed on everything. So, and our personal lives kind of became turmoils, or mine in particular was a bit of a mess. And we had other members that were busy, and because there was so much downtime, everyone got busy doing other things. And the prior lineup of the band, which another reason we changed the name is because it's different people other than Sean Hall and I, the drummer. So Cody came in to Close the Hatch towards the end. And he did a handful of shows with us. He was a fill-in bass player for that band in the past, and then was in it towards the very end. But once he started recording the record that is out now for Modern Witchcraft, I feel like this is getting very confusing.
Did you eat an edible before you started this?
Yeah. Either way, we just kind of like, it just made sense to like start over and try to reestablish ourselves differently. I think the other side of it is that, at least on my end, is that I felt like, and like, much like you might get flack for not liking the Cave-In stuff versus Mutoid Man, I feel like sometimes, and not sometimes, I'm just, let's just say it, metal genres and elitism go hand in hand.
Sure.
And I don't buy into that. I think that's a stupid way of looking at things. That's just my personal opinion. I think that if you look at things that way, you're kind of limiting your access to a lot of really great music and a lot of inspiration.
Okay. I've got a follow-up about that, but I've got it kind of planned out for later. But
okay.
I like that you've got the precursor there. with the Close the Hatch stuff and... you know, switching things over to Modern Witchcraft, was there ever any thought to kind of reimagine some of the Close the Hatch songs and bring them into the Modern Witchcraft form?
We had briefly discussed pulling one of the songs from the final Close the Hatch record over, but ultimately we just kind of settled on moving forward. Also, like, the record that just came out was recorded during the pandemic because we couldn't do anything, and that's with the change in lineup and stuff, which some of the final bit of change in lineup took place a little under a year ago, with Mick taking over for the previous guitar player. But not really. I think we made a pretty determined effort to separate it from that, and I feel like it's going to be impossible to do for a while, especially with anyone that was aware of the band. It was funny that you mentioned that, because we had one site reach out to us for a review, which is very nice. No beef there. I'm happy that anyone gives a shit about anything that I do. I kind of like could tell that most of the article was going to focus on the name change a little more than the record. And that's kind of exactly what happened. Like, most of the beginning of that article was just like, they used to be this thing, now they're this
right,
thing.
Right.
Like, yeah, but no, like, it's different people. There is a different approach and a different vibe. And I feel like if you were to go to listen to the beginning of the prior band, which was over a decade ago now, and then you listen to what we're doing, it doesn't sound like the same thing. Because it's not. Like,
right.
It's very, very different on purpose. And I don't know. I feel like I might have shot myself in the foot a bit by doing that, and then maybe in turn shoot the feet of my bandmates in the process. But
it's funny, you don't strike me as a hunter.
Sometimes it's just nice to feel like you're starting over. We had a lot of things kind of fall apart because of the pandemic, and it's like, well, if it's going to be different people now other than myself and the drummer, and we're going to put out a record that's even further into a different direction than the last thing, we should just start over and give ourselves a chance to reestablish ourselves.
Sure. In relation to the mostly the starting over with a familiar cast for the most part, if not, you know, fill-ins that have turned into full-time people. You and I had kind of talked previously about Nick being the new guy. And at this point, I'd wanted to talk to him directly. I should note here that the intention was to talk to the whole band, but, you know, the previously mentioned pandemic and COVID and all that fun stuff has struck again. It's apparently still a thing. And because of that, it's just Steven and I. So I'd wanted to kind of single Nick out and ask him a couple things here. So since I can't do that, I'm going to ask you if there's something that you want to specifically tell him. It's just you and him talking. You can be as honest as you want.
No, I love Nick. He's been incredibly useful, not just in the band, but in our personal lives too. I think it was a good thing. The morale of the band kind of dropped off significantly during the tail end of the pandemic, and then trying to start over because we were changing members, and it was just not something we wanted to be doing, but it was what was necessary. And there, to be clear, there is no like issues or anything. We're all still buddies. As a matter of fact, Sean,
besides the one guy that you killed.
Yeah, well, fuck that guy.
Exactly.
Sean O'Shaughnessy is still close with us, and he probably will be doing some of the recording of our next record because he handled the vast majority of the record that just came out and played on it. To get back to Nick is a buddy of mine I met through YouTube stuff. And because we both have YouTube channels, his is significantly larger than mine. But he's also just somebody that I hung out with and spent time with, and he's a great guitar player, and he's also a videographer, and that's what he does for a living. And when we started doing video stuff, I asked him to do it, and then it kind of just came to be that when things happened with Sean stepping away from the band, Sean O'Shaughnessy, real name, by the way, that's not a fictitious name.
Good note.
When he stepped aside, Nick was there, literally there, helping us film videos at the time, and I was like, I approached the idea of him taking over. But to be fair to Nick, he lives in Wisconsin.
Holy shit.
And it was more so like, if you want to do it, we'd love to have you. We know it's inconvenient, but we'll give you gas money, that sort of thing, or we'll come your way every once in a while. So, but yeah, he's been a trooper throughout it, and he learned the songs, and he's been coming to rehearsals and coming to shows, and he's put a lot of his time and money on the line, and that's not something he has to be doing. So I have nothing but a great deal of love and respect for Nick. We pick on Nick, and there's been some light hazing, and his anus will recover. And that's always good.
Hashtag anus recovery.
Yeah, no, he's one of my best friends, and it's been awesome to have him on. And we do pick on him in the videos and stuff, but he's been real fun with that and everything. I'm sure if anyone's seen any of the stuff we've done on social media, where Nick is kind of the butt of the joke, that's just something we've been doing along with him to have fun and kind of make the stupid promos a little more interesting to us, because honestly, and I maybe I'm I'm certain I'm not the only one. The saddest part of being in a band at this point is social media.
Amen to that.
And it's a necessary evil. It does work. It facilitates its need quite well, but it is not fun. And we figure, and kind of along the lines of my previous mention with metal and heavy music kind of being full of elitism, we kind of thought it would just be fun to be silly and not take ourselves seriously at all. I feel like that, in my mind, is a little more interesting to watch than just a bunch of guys trying to be cool and look like they're spinning their guitars around.
Right, right.
They're yeah. heavy, and they're doing the devil horns with their fingers and stuff.
yeah, no, and I guess at this point it's as good a place as any to say, hey, please follow the podcast on any Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter accounts that you have, as well as Modern Witchcraft on all of their social media accounts. Because, you know, modern times call for modern solutions.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only way that anyone gets access to anything.
Sure.
It's a necessary evil. But, yeah, we've used Nick as the butt of the joke there, but I'm certain the tides will shift to me being butt of the joke. So I'm an easy target. I'm bald. It's fine.
Bald with glasses.
Yeah. I'm right for picking. But, no, man, Nick's amazing, and he's very, very good dude to have around. It changed the entire kind of morale of things. Like, we're all having a good time as a band, and nobody's, not that we've really been bad at bickering ever, but, like, nobody's, like, in a weird place with anything. Like, we always just have fun, and when we kind of just get down to business when he's in town, because
he came from fucking Wisconsin.
Right. So, when we rehearse, we get things done, and we really beat things to death, which is good. I feel like it's made us pretty solid already, as far as being able to perform the record live. We know it front and back, which is nice, and then when we have the downtime and the after hours, we hang out and, you know, do normal silly shit that dudes do when they're hanging out, but, like light hazing. But,
Hashtag anus recovery.
Yeah, he's fine. It'd be just fine. At least that's what the doctor says.
Rub a little dirt on it.
Yeah. Nothing a little spit can't find. Anyway. No. Long story short is Nick is a great dude, and I'm real happy that he's around.
That's great. I want to ask where the name Modern Witchcraft came from, but I guess we've got to go back to the song, or am I assuming things?
You know, if you would have asked me this 3 years ago, I probably knew the answer. But I don't recall. I just know it was something that came up at some point, and it settled as a song title and then inevitably a record. And then when we changed the name, I was like, well, I thought that was a pretty solid name. As I found out, there was another band from the UK called that for a bit, which I didn't know. And even when I was Googling it initially, to like make it a band name, I couldn't find it. But then, since there's been articles, a few of them have mentioned that we're from the UK, and I'm like, what's happening?
I'm definitely not from the UK.
Yeah, even the guy that did an article that I talked to first and shared our bio, which says we're from Ohio, Wisconsin, he still put that we were the UK. That band apparently is no more, which is cool. I had no idea they existed. I'm working on trademarking the whole thing, so I don't have to worry about
it. Right. Trademarking Modern Witchcraft non-UK.
Yeah. It's quite expensive. I've never had to do that before, but I was like, I'm going to try to do it the right way.
With track titles like Bible Belt Baphomet, which is easier for me to say when I'm not five beers deep, the previously mentioned and played Sugar for Rats, Corpse Painter, what's my favorite one of the bunch is the one that's something about honey, and now I can't remember the fucking Honey Creeper. Yeah, that's probably my favorite on the damn album. With these goofy ass titles, goofies. By way of being complimentary,
you're gay. You're stupid. It's fine.
I'm going to assume that there's some interesting subject matter behind them. You want to elaborate?
Yeah, I mean, the general theme of the record, now that I've like had some time away from it and listened to it and also heard other people's interpretation of it, is just most of the songs, for the most part, have some sort of loose connection to mortality or like kind of like how things kind of aren't final. A lot of that, I imagine, was probably spawned from the desperation that was the pandemic and not having employment, because the job I had laid everyone off because we traveled and we're in group settings regularly. So most of that stuff is just kind of desperate. Like, most of the songs kind of have a similar theme for the most part. But I would be lying if I said there was some sort of grand idea behind any of the names. Those are all of the songs were working titles. And
just kind of stuck around?
Yeah, and then I actually tried to write to the titles at one point. It just wasn't working. The song that opens the record, Death Waves, that had been a demo, like a name for a song and various things I've done over the years and never used it. But I wrote the lyrics separately and I was like, I'll just call it that. Honey Creeper is the only song on the record that's working title was changed, because its original working title was Don't Do Meth.
Is that a PSA? Is that a personal experience, or is that were you wearing your Dare shirt when you came up with that?
I was driving the Dare Taurus.
the Dare Taurus.
Yeah, it's definitely an Ohio joke. Anyway,
I'm literally writing the Dare Taurus down. I'm going to figure out a way to put that in social media.
Very funny. No, I kind of distracted myself with the Dare Taurus. What was the question?
Fucked if I know, man. You're supposed to be keeping track.
No, I didn't do that.
Good. There we go.
My personal experiences with other people having done it. I did have an ex-girlfriend of mine who became that ex. Literally the moment the words I've tried meth and it wasn't that bad came out of your mouth. So yeah, I knew that was damaged goods, so I moved on.
Yep.
It was just a silly working title to make my bandmates laugh when I was sharing demos back and forth.
Okay. I'm going to assume mission accomplished.
If I recall, I don't know.
Did you get any sidebar messages about, hey man, is this about me?
I never get those. that would be funny, actually.
Yeah,
it'd be really interesting if someone thought like the song was about them.
Right. How did you know I was doing meth? I thought I was hiding it so well.
Your teeth say otherwise.
Oh.
It was just a silly thing. We're all we're old men, and we are chubby, so there's no mess in our lives.
I'm going to have a whole ass list of hashtags here, like hashtag chubby. How would you explain your music to your grandma?
Well, I'd say you're dead, but if you can hear me.
Off to a hot start.
Yeah, I would say you wouldn't like it. And,
okay.
Let's not waste our time. you heard the Eagles' greatest hits.
It's just like that.
It's like that. It's exactly like that. No, I don't know. I would just basically say it's very loud, and there's a lot of reverb and things that sound spacey and kind of chaotic, and I think that it is an audio representation of what you imagine being on drugs.
Okay.
Also, you're dead.
I can't tell if I should apologize for laughing about
I said it. You don't have any
Whether being dead or not. But either way, I have laughed.
One of my grandmothers is still alive, but I don't think that she would want to hear any.
Okay, all right.
Probably break her heart.
You mentioned something in there that begs a practical question here. Would Grandma have known what reverb is?
Yeah, that's a good question. Probably not. I'm sure if I was talking to her about, the Afterneath Earthquaker Devices pedal that I liked, that those reverby things, she would glaze over.
That may have been what killed her, actually.
It's slowly killing me, too.
So
no, I don't know.
It's
a funny question. I've never thought of what my grandparents would say.
That's, believe it or not, that's the fucking point.
I like it.
That's why this is the epitome of stupidity.
We're nailing the stupid
dude part. This is just home run after home run. So to kind of pick up the thread that you picked at, I'm not saying this well, to kind of pick up the thread that has been noted previously is what I'll go with. We've talked about classifications and elitism and all that stuff, and I'm willing to bet that I'm about to quote from the same article that you've referenced a couple times, where you guys have been classified as things as convoluted as post-rock meets grunge rock meets post-doom. I've also seen the more straightforward sludgy and doom gaze, which I guess if I had to pick one is probably what I would go with. The end of my notes here is there a classification that bothers you or one that you prefer? But it sounds like you may have a more interesting way to go with this. So I'm going to ask a question without actually asking a question and just say, your turn to talk.
Okay. The portion of elitism I don't like is just naysaying everything. I think that's really my problem. That's a whole other conversation. But some things are just not for everyone, and that's an easier way of approaching things.
Sure.
No, I mean, Doomgaze, which is not one I've heard, makes the most sense to me, so I'm glad you mentioned it. I'll hashtag it from now on.
There you go.
I did find that there was a random hashtag for Witch Rock that had like a million some things attached to it, so I kind of used that because
okay.
It makes sense with the name.
All right.
But I would say, we're kind of a mixture of all those things. It's kind of weird when you, you're in a band, too. I imagine if you're not really setting out to do or sound like a certain thing, it's hard to categorize it. And we're not just like a traditional metal band by any means. I don't think that we lean incredibly hard into the doom territory anymore. I mean, some of the songs are mid-tempo or slower, but I would say it leans more into the rock territory than it does much of anything right now. But I don't know. I'll hang on to Doom Days. I didn't know that was a thing, so I'm just going to take it.
There you go. That, like I said, that's my personal go-to for you guys, and it does feel fitting. Could I define it if I needed to? Absolutely fucking not. But does it sound right? Yes. So we've worked our way around to the government's definition of porn is what we're doing here.
I know it when I see it.
Doomgaze and porn.
Yeah.
So what's the writing process like for these things? Is it, we've kind of mentioned a couple times that a lot of this was written during the pandemic, or all of this was written during the pandemic. So I'm guessing a lot of it wasn't written in the room. Is it just kind of a modern version of tape trading and updating things, or?
I wrote, I had nothing but downtime for most of the first year of the pandemic. And there was a period of time where I was stuck, because I have a house in Canada with my wife, and then I have a house here in the States. I was stuck in the States for about just shy of 6 months because the borders were closed. So during that period of time, I worked on the majority of the demos for the songs, and just kind of started piecing together things. and assumed that at some point we would all get in a room together, since we all kind of had downtime and work on things, but it just never really panned out. And then finding a place to do that that was safe for us all to be in publicly or whatever was not a thing.
So right.
I wrote most of the songs myself, just by programming drums and tracking everything. Without getting, I mean, we can get into gear talk if you want, but like the, I'm happy to do that, but kind of my wheelhouse. Either way, no, the pandemic kind of, because I couldn't, I was using this giant rig there for a while and it made more sense in the Doomy world that we were coming from. But I switched to using modelers again and stuff during the pandemic because it gave me a lot of flexibility and ease of use to record very quickly at home and get good results. So I've kind of just stuck with that. So I did that all by myself. I would just program the drums and play bass and guitar on the demos. And then when it came time to actually record things, we spent a couple of sessions just reworking things and like rearranging things digitally. And then we would just change the arrangement of the song, change some of the things as far as like drum fills and things that were programmed. And then once that was established, then we would get rid of the drums and then the real drums would be recorded to the stems from the demos. And then once the drums, like the actual drums were laid down, then we went back and did the typical studio thing and retracked everything on top of it. But generally stuff usually starts with, at the time, it was either me or Sean O'Shaughnessy would demo an idea, but on the latter record, or this record that we're talking about now, Sean played on the record and he contributed the secondary guitar part as far as the arrangements we worked on together to change. But he didn't really write any songs on that release. I'm not saying it as a derogatory thing, it's just kind of what it was. We worked on other things, like his focus with us mostly was, aside from playing and writing secondary guitar parts and melody lines and stuff, was to record and engineer the song. So we just had a different process, because of the limitations we had with COVID and only a couple of us being able to be in the room and all that, you know, that whole spiel we were all dealing with for
a
while.
Right. That fanciful, just lovely time of everybody's life that we all just reminisce about so warmly.
There are portions of it I do miss, but mostly just because I'm a bit of a recluse and I did enjoy the anonymity of going places and knowing quite well I saw someone I know, but I could pretend like I did.
Right.
Excuse me.
I may or may not do that even now, where sometimes I'm always walking around, like if I'm at Kroger, I've always got headphones in. And usually there's music playing, but sometimes there's not, and I just want to be able to act like I didn't hear somebody. But I'm not an asshole. You're an asshole.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You're a musician, too. I feel like there's some of us are extremely extroverted, and I feel like the vast majority of musicians I know are kind of introverted in personal life. I think they have the ability to not be that in public when they need to be, but you know what I mean? I think it's just kind of like that weird artsy douchebag stuff.
That is the technical term there, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you know it or not.
I made sure that I had the term.
We'll just do this straight up. How did you persuade Morgan Lander of Kitty to be on Sugar for Rats?
Well, I married her sister.
That is the sentence that I was kind of assuming that you might work your way around, but nope, you came right out and hit it right on the nose. Good for you.
No, I asked. I mean, she had every opportunity to say no. But no, I asked her if she would be willing to do vocals on the song, which, I mean, the hell, that's been almost 2.5 years ago.
Right.
And, she did, and we re-recorded it twice, because the initial bit of stuff was the mic that she was using wasn't great, so we went and redid it. But yeah, that was it. I mean, there really wasn't much involved. I worked for them too, as a guitar tech, and I engineered a lot of their demo stuff from the record they're getting ready to come out, or getting ready to put out, so.
Ooh, and you're going to help me connect the dots to have them on the show when that album comes out, right?
Well, it could easily be done. Yeah, I mean.
That's legally binding.
Yeah, sure, whatever. I don't have anything. You better be ready to litigate.
I am. I can spell litigate, that's for sure.
I can't.
I win.
Yeah, you win. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, no, it was just that. I just asked her. She said, yeah, but I also helped them a lot, and I try to make myself useful in that world, because I'm there. Similarly, and feel free to be mad at me, anyone that is a fan of Kitty that listens to this, but I definitely got them into using modelers live, because it makes our travels much easier.
It makes your job easier.
Yeah, and I know the Quad Cortex well, and I know the Helix quite well. So it makes my portion of things easy with them, and with them kind of being used to the set. Like, I say them, but that Morgan is much more used to using traditional amps and stuff, and she's just starting to dive into learning the minutia of the Helix, so me having a bit of a heads up on it has been beneficial, and it makes things easier on her. But without getting, I mean, this isn't an interview about me turning on guitar amps with Kitty.
Or
yeah,
is it?
That's the answer. Yeah, maybe. I asked, and she was nice enough to do it. And ironically, we've been doing some cross-promoted stuff, and then we were trying to time it in a way that made sense, but since they have a record coming out now, too, so we're going to be... You'll see less of that as time goes on, because the girls are about to be quite busy.
Right.
Yeah, that's it. You know, when I was touring the latter portion of Close the Hatch in 2018, I at least toured with or did some light grade touring with Mercedes' other band, The White Swan. And that's kind of that. And I ended up marrying her, and then I was able to ask my new sister-in-law to come scream on a song.
And that's a sentence that not a lot of people get to say. I've got a couple different ways I want to go with this. And I think the shorter version might be better to go. I think the shorter answer might be, I think Sugar for Rats is probably the heaviest song on the album, and it closes the album. It leans into that driving kind of post-metal thing, and between you and Morgan just screaming your fucking faces off, it will absolutely tear somebody apart if the volume is at the right decibel. I assume there wasn't a lot of thought put into which song we should put her on. It's going to be the heaviest fucking song.
Yeah, it was that, and then Brian from the Seat is on two of the songs. And we had another guest vocalist, Miles Strand, is on Corpse Painter. So it was just like, I sent her, I think, two songs, and I think that's just the one we agreed would make the most sense. Some of the other songs, the different versions of them throughout the edits, did have more screaming on them. But then I kind of made a conscious decision to go remove some of that and just go back to more singing stuff, like Honey Creeper in particular, which in my personal opinion is the most straightforward and like catchy song on the record, and then it still has every element that the rest of the song do, but that had screaming in it at one point and it just wasn't working. Yeah, it was just that. Like, that's the song that made sense, and it was also the song that was left of the pile that I had decided to scream on.
Now, you've mentioned that, you know, being married to her sister, Mercedes,
mm-hmm.
is it, I don't have a fancy or smart way of asking this, and as previously mentioned, I'm working my way on drunk, so it's not like I've got an option here anyways. Is it weird to see publications like Revolver talking about your relationship in relation to these songs? Like, you know, release by Modern Witchcraft, here's a song featuring Kitty because this guy's married to, or not necessarily because, that's harsh phrasing, but, you know, this guy who's married to, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because the way that, with the Revolver article, which I'm, don't get me wrong, like, super grateful that they did anything at all.
Sure.
Same thing with PRP. It was certainly beneficial to us that they did do something. So I've got no beef there, and I'm grateful that Morgan was on board with there being articles on it. So, but the weird part of that isn't that they mention it, because it's reality. I got no beef with that. And then is that they would have only established that by looking at my social media profile.
Right.
So that's the part that's weird about it, is that they, like, did some weird digging to figure out who I was in relation to them. And, like, that was strange to me. Also, it seemed like a weird thing to point out as to why, because I don't think it's really relevant to the public as to how they ended up on the thing. Mm-hmm. I've got no beef with it. I'm not, you know, I answered your question very directly, clearly. I don't give a shit that anyone thinks that. But I did find it odd that, like, the person who wrote the article for Revolver would have had to, like, go look at my wife's social media profile and find mine and do a light grade homework to discover the answer to that question.
It's almost like there was more research done into this song and these relationships than there is in things that, you know, not for nothing, but, you know, like, things that actually matter that are reported.
Yeah, and it's kind of a double-edged sword, right? Like, I can't be mad, because no matter how I look at it, the posts that they made was beneficial. It caused a few other other websites to write articles too. That's all well and good. It is helpful to us, and like I said, I'm super grateful that the girls were on board. Further that, even more so, Mercedes plays on every song on that record.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, no, I think, I'm sorry, I acted surprised, or I didn't act surprised about that. I was surprised there in the moment, but then I have actually looked through the notes, and I believe it's keyboards that she plays on basically everything?
Yeah, anything that's got synth on it is her. The only synth part on the record that isn't her is at the end of Bible Belt Baphomet. There's a, like, a Moog drone thing that's happening. And that was Sean O'Shaughnessy.
Sean.
But yeah. She played on everything. What's really funny is that the other day, like I said, it's been almost 2.5 years since we recorded it, all this stuff. So I was mentioning to her, I was like, it's funny that they pointed out your sister and they pointed out I was married to you, but nowhere on there did they mention that you also were on.
That you're actually on the damn thing, yeah.
And she's like, oh yeah, I guess I was. Yeah. It's funny is that, like, what the reality of it is, we had 2 days back-to-back during the pandemic where obviously none of us were doing anything. And I was like, I want to track a bunch of synth stuff on this record. You want to do it? I'll just pick out the sounds and you can play whatever you want. And so it was literally like, just, I would just start a song and we would scroll through all of the different synth presets and Logic and find one that kind of worked texturally with the song, and then she would play whatever she wanted to. So it literally was like maybe a total of 2 hours of work. But she is, yeah, she's on every track. But yeah, her sister obviously singing is the thing that,
right, kind of takes the headliner status.
Yeah, but no, it's whatever, man. Like,
sure.
All press is good press in some regard until I'm getting canceled for something.
Which will happen shortly after this podcast is released.
Yeah, all that earlier Nick's butthole.
Hashtag anus recovery.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
So, I guess that's as dumb a spot as any to kind of swing this thing into the home stretch here. I know you guys have at least one show announced coming up. Do you want to talk about that and any others that you might have?
So we have actually pulled this up because I didn't want to forget it. And it's funny because we only have two right now, and I should be able to remember them, but I don't. We had one scheduled for March 1st. That venue went MIA on me, so we've canceled that.
So we're just going to collectively say, fuck those guys.
Yeah, no offense to them, but like, just, we booked a show with them at the beginning of January, and then they fell off the face of the earth when I've asked for information on who else is playing and stuff, so right. We just failed. Just being real, sometimes people don't communicate well, and you just gotta make a decision.
It's so stupid, man. I could go on a whole fucking day-long tangent about people not being able to fucking communicate, but instead, I'm gonna let you continue answering the question that I asked.
No, we have, we're playing at Northside Yacht, or no, we were, it was originally at Northside Yacht Club and Comet. Now it has been moved to the Northside Tavern. So, March 8th, we are at Northside Tavern in Cincinnati, with Moon Temple and Glass World and Grey Host. Grey Host are buddies of ours for many years now, like over a decade. So, looking forward to that. We haven't done a show in Cincinnati. That I can recall. Well, this version of the band's never done one. Prior to that, it's been several years. So there's that, and then we're playing in Dayton at Flying Bob's on March 29th, again with, I want to say that's Moon Temple and, no, not Moon Temple, Gromulus. Other local buddies of ours, some former bandmates and stuff. But that's it for right now. I know we're, as things get moving, we'll probably be booking some actual like, tour date stuff.
Ooh, fancy.
Been able to do that in a long time.
Right.
Like almost going on 4 years now, which is kind of wild. But yeah, prior to that, I mean, the other iteration of the band, that when it was a different group of people and name and stuff, we would at least do a little bit of light touring every year, whether it was like 10 or so dates. But, I think we're going to try to get back into doing that again. But to answer your question without rambling too long, because that's all I'm doing, it is a podcast, and that's what podcasts are for.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hashtag anus recovery.
Absolutely. You got to get it together or put it back in there. Anyway, yeah, Northside Tavern, Cincinnati, March 8th, and then March 29th, Blind Bob's in Dayton, Ohio. And there'll be more. We've got some emails coming and going, but the aforementioned communication problems are always the thing.
Yes, indeed. Well, whether it's playing with you or, you know what, that sounds bad and I'm going to leave it, fuck it. whether it's playing with you or seeing you, I can't wait to see Modern Witchcraft again. Because, again, we our band has played shows or a show with this iteration. And you guys absolutely fucking crushed, and it was great, and I can't wait to do it again. So that was the peak of seriousness right there. We're going to go ahead and turn the tide here and get into the dumbass shit that we end these types of things with, and then round this conversation out with an ending. So we're going to... We'll do the rapid fire thing here. My goal here is to kind of change these things up just in case somebody listens and kind of pre-supplies their answers. So if you listen to the last one, most of these are the same, but a little bit different. I'm not sure what I'm doing. At this point, it's my turn to ramble. There's a drink of beer, and now we'll start. Coffee or tea?
Man, this is a funny answer. I love coffee.
I hope so.
And it would be coffee. But I now am taking blood pressure medication.
Ooh.
So I do not do coffee as frequently. I'm not one of these sadists that does decaf. so what's the point?
Right. It's like non-alcoholic beer. What are you doing?
Yeah, I say that, man. My wife currently is promoting a non-alcoholic beer.
I mean, well, I said it, so don't put yourself in the doghouse on my account.
That's okay. I haven't tasted a drop of it. I've seen the can. It looks beautiful and it smells tasty, but I'm not into wasting calories.
Amen.
I wanted to sit right in my gut. No, it's coffee, but I do drink a lot of tea. I had a pretty stupid addiction to those giant Arizona green teas, the dollar cans.
All right.
It's where I was literally buying cases of them and going through them in a couple of weeks, and it was just the sugar intake was like making me gain weight, so I've stopped doing that.
Being old
it's
fun.
It's also this thing, like, you ever had something you really like, and then at a certain point it just starts being not good to you anymore?
Probably. I mean, there are people in my life that I enjoyed at one point in time that I don't talk to anymore. Do those count?
That counts. I was more so referring to products, but...
Well, their marketing campaign was shit anyway, so...
Sometimes you got, got bad representation.
Yep. The next up on the list here is, what is something you could eat for a week straight?
Oh. Well, something I could. I already do. I eat pizza pretty regular, because I love pizza. I actually had this conversation with my mother-in-law before I left the house the other day. We were going to go to some fancy new pizza place, and she was like, oh, I want to make sure we get, like, a really great pizza. Like, all pizza is great. I don't care.
Right, frozen. Right.
Like, I will eat a Speedway pizza, no problem.
Pizza.
I'll enjoy it.
Pizza is pretty delicious. And that's a question that I suspect will probably stay on this just so that I can have the pizza conversation pretty regularly.
You and I have had shitty pizza at the same place at Rudy's.
Amen. And
it's not amazing, but it does the job.
It solved the problem.
Fun story about that night, the last time you and I were together when we played the show at Rudy's.
Okay.
On said pizza, I took one bite and shattered one of my teeth.
Oh, Jesus. And that has to have been before you played.
It was right after.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess that's a plus.
I had a crown on a tooth. It was, I've had this since I was a child, but yeah, I bit into it and it just shattered the whole tooth. So after the next week after that show, I had to schedule an emergency dental thing to get my tooth fixed.
It was a crown, you say?
Yeah, it was the old one.
Right. Well, I'll piggyback on your story and we'll do the sludge version of rapid fire questions apparently, because there's nothing rapid about this. A few weeks ago, I was in the middle of 800 things at my work and my stomach was, it's not often that I actually eat during the day, but my stomach was pissed at me about something and telling me that it wanted some things in it. So I had a handful of Dum Dum Pops and a handful of Warheads sitting around. So I just start crunching those while I'm responding to emails and a bunch of dumb stuff. And I've made it to the Warheads, and I'm just crunching through them and getting them in my stomach so it'll shut up. And I get to a piece of this Warhead, or what I assumed was the Warhead, that just will not give. So I reach in, and I grab it, and son of a bitch, it's not a Warhead, it's my tooth. Because... these sticky-ass candies that you're not supposed to chew through have pulled this whole-ass crown. This whole tooth is a crown. And it pulled the whole damn thing out, and there I am holding it. Oh, look, that's not supposed to be in my hand. That's supposed to be in my mouth.
Oh, man.
So, yeah. And you know what the moral of the story is? You don't have these problems with pizza. Oh, wait, no, that's not the moral of the story, because that's the problem that you had.
In fact, I did have that problem.
Okay, well, there you go. That's why morals are bunk, kids.
Yeah, just take care of your teeth.
Serious response, yes. Because those damn things matter, and when they hurt, they really hurt.
Dude, if you've ever had an abscess, a bad one, like I've had once in my life, it was absolute misery. And I never hope to have one again. So
I could start a whole new podcast just bitching about teeth pain. Teeth pain?
You could call it teeth pain, and you could have a teeth pain song.
We could call it teeth pain, and it would literally hurt to listen to it. back on track here. Beatles or Stones?
I'm gonna go Beatles, and not for, I think mostly just because of, like, recording experimentation. There's definitely a lot of Beatles I don't care for. But there's more Stones that I don't care for.
Well, see, no, I'll let you finish. Go ahead.
No, you're good. To be clear, I don't dislike either, but if I had to choose, I think there are more Beatles songs I would want to listen to, than Stones songs. Like, there's only a few Stones songs that I really like and won't kind of, like, be excited for them to be over. And I think a lot of it is just because I've heard them literally hundreds and thousands
of
times.
Sure, yeah.
But I don't know. I don't listen to either of those things regularly. I tend to only hear them, like, in gas stations and that sort of thing at this point. But there was a period in my life where I did listen to them.
When I'm getting Speedway pizza.
Yes, absolutely. I heard something the other night, and it was like, it was Incubus. The Warmth or whatever.
Okay, yeah.
The Wales. It was playing in, I don't know if they have this here. There's like, I can't even think of the name of it. In Canada, there's a series of gas, or chain of gas stations that all have the Canadian maple flag thing going on. I can't think of the name of it.
If
right
you can't
now.
Think of the name of it, you have to sing the opening line of the anthem.
I'm not a good Canadian. I know that there's O Canada, so that's as far as I get.
There you go. That's the only part I know.
So, yeah, I'm a terrible Canadian. I'm trying to be a terrible one. I am trying to be a citizen there eventually, but, not great at it. Anyway. So, they have these gas stations that are arguably the equivalent of Speedway here, but I was in there paying for gas and getting something to drink, and that song was on the radio. It's like, I can't imagine that when Incubus wrote this song. I can't wait until you hear this on, at a gas station that's on an offering.
Yeah, that's a bunch of unacceptable forms of weird.
I can't wait until someone hears this song while they're taking a shit at Speedway.
Right. Like, trying to wipe their ass with the tracing paper that we provided for them.
Right, where everyone buys their Monster.
I weirdly was on a big ass Incubus kick here just recently, and just the idea of, anyways, that's just as weird as you've made it out the sound, and that's enough for me on that. Moving on, Simpsons or Bob's Burgers?
Oh, that's a hard one. I would say up until about 5 years ago, I would have been all Simpsons. Bob's Burgers now. I love Bob's Burgers. My daughter's middle name is Louise, and it's literally named after the cartoon.
Nice.
I don't know that she's as thrilled about it as I am, but, I don't know. I love that. I don't know, man. I'm pretty bad about any of that now. I guess if I had to choose between the two currently, I would probably land with Bob's Burgers.
Latter
stuff, the Simpsons hasn't been that great.
Right, and there's no such thing as not great Bob's Burgers, so they're winning that one as far as I'm concerned. My next question here was pretty specific in relation to expecting the whole group to be here, focusing back on that Ruby Tuesday night, and the question is, would you rather be able to back the trailer you're driving with your gear perfectly the first time every time or never get a speeding ticket again? But since the fellow that was driving isn't here, I'll just let him hear this and ruminate on it.
Well, that was Nick, and that was also part of his ritual hazing. definitely backing the trailer. I would love to be, 100% on the trailer every time.
Sure.
Like that's a pretty baller skill to have.
You're damn right it is. Would you rather fight a horse-sized goose or 50 goose-sized horses?
I have a story I could tell, but I'm not gonna. It just involves a goose.
Is there video?
Whatever. If you PETA, if you're listening, I meant well. So this is hilarious because I've never thought that this would come up ever again in my life. kid was about, like, I don't know, two-ish, but still a baby. We went to a park to go look at geese in the pond and all these things, and she brought french fries. And she's like, I'm going to throw these in the thing. I was like, that's fine. But they just started, like, attacking her. Like, literally, like, biting her and trying to, like, and they were, like, pulling at her fingers.
Right, right.
And they were french fries. And then, like, I got kind of, because I'm, you know, larger than a goose, so I had to stand up, and they kind of scattered. But one was just continuing to bite her. So I had to, like, knock the shit out of this goose to get it to go away. And then it just started coming after me.
The damn thing still shows up every October 4th.
Yeah, it's just there right now, too, smoking a cigarette. Yeah. You know, the one time that I had to physically assault a goose because it was physically assaulting my child.
Okay. So I'm going to interpret that as 50 goose-sized horses?
Yeah, I mean, I'll go with the horses. I don't want to fight. I mean, the horses are going to win, but... You know, if I had to fight a regular goose, I feel like I didn't do that great with it either.
Beer or liquor?
Oh, man. Now, beer. When I was younger, liquor. Getting to the fun part a lot faster.
Mm-hmm. Woods or ocean?
Oh, man. That's a hard one. I don't know, I'm going to go with woods. I mean, I like camping and hiking and stuff. That's the thing that the wife and I do pretty regular. I love the ocean. I am a very pale, pasty, white gentleman. And
which is why we get along.
Yeah, yeah. For whatever reason, salt water irritates my skin, which is unfortunate.
Also and a separate podcast.
Yeah, and... My wife's the same way. Like, we love all that stuff, but, like, ocean water fucks with our skin. And we're very pale, so we burn. So I'm going to go with the woods.
Okay. Fall or spring?
Fall.
I was going to say, I feel like the answer kind of was given on the last one there. Go-to karaoke song?
Man. I'm going to say Black Velvet.
Nice. I hope you incorporate that as a cover soon.
Working on it.
All right, and then the last and most / least important one, sausage links or patties?
Oh, man. I'm going to go with links.
You did all right.
I like...
You did all right through most of these, but that one is hard wrong.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Tell me why.
Because patties are better.
So when you say, are you referring specifically to breakfast sausage?
Yes.
Okay, so in that world, I'll agree with you. I'm with patties, but if we're just talking about as a whole.
Just
I'm
in general. With... All right. You know what? I will take that note and make some more, I will specify better going forward. I've asked that question, I don't know, somewhere around a literal 60 times, and...
I'm the first person to fuck it up.
You're the first person to want to clarify breakfast or not. So I will adjust accordingly. Good clarification there. And then the last and most original question that anyone has ever asked that I have here is you, Stephen, of Modern Witchcraft, are stuck on an island for the rest of your life. You by your onesie, lonesome, and you get to take one album with you. What is that album?
Probably Karina Rounds, Please Don't Stop. I fell in love with that record a long time ago. There's a lot of subtlety to it. It makes me cry. If there's anything I want to do alone on an island, it's cry. And then.
That's the fifth time I've laughed at something that I probably shouldn't laugh at.
But no, it's just one that no matter what, every time I listen to the whole record, it's only like 5 songs, but like every time I listen to that record, I get the same visceral response. And not every record does that. There's a few records that used to do it more when I was younger that don't do it so much anymore. But that's one in particular that like it kind of makes me feel alive in the best and worst ways.
And what is it again?
Karina Rounds. The record's called. Things You Should Know.
I am writing that down. Things you should know. Fun fact, outside of the album, there are so many things I should know that I don't. Steve, thanks so much for shooting shit with me for what looks like about an hour and 15 minutes so far. You guys, again, anybody hearing this that is anywhere near any of the spots that he has noted that they are playing, you absolutely should make every effort to go see them because, again, I am giving you the full go-ahead. It is fucking worth it. They are great live. And if you're not within range of going to any of those shows, just listen to the fucking album or maybe buy a physical copy because, again, totally worth it. Absolutely fucking great. And working on the definition of Doomgaze. So there's that. The song Sugar for Rats will play immediately after this, and you should listen to that at full volume, but I will let Steven talk further about that here in just a second. Thanks again to Brimminghorn for constantly being our sponsor and just being fucking awesome in general. Again, drink like a Viking, just drink better in general, drink some mead. Go to BrimminghornMeadery.com and use the code EPITOMEAD, EPITOMEAD, to get 10% off your order. If you're not already, follow the podcast on all the socials, as long as all the socials are Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Find Modern Witchcraft on all the socials, but not the UK version, so specificity there. I'm going to make a fart noise here, say goodbye, and let Steven introduce Sugar for Rats.
All right. I am Steven, the same guy that was just rambling on this podcast for an hour and 15 minutes, according to the gentleman hosting the podcast. And the song,
you ever call me a gentleman again, you'll never be on this fucking podcast again. I'm sorry.
Look, this dickhead that's on this podcast is telling me what to do on his podcast. Anyway, no, you're Sugar for Rats.
Nailed it.